The following program is brought to you in living color.
Let's start drinking.
Oh, not so fast. In order for the tannins to mellow, we should let it breathe for about 30 minutes.
Freaking tannins.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the goddess of the grape, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time. Everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask, that's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about our soon-to-be uprooted, upplanted, picked little grapes. Yes, I think I gave you an update last week. Some of our little grapes have been coming in. Now it is slowly, what had been a drizzle is starting to become, well, let's just say a little heavier bit of a rainfall. We certainly aren't in a deluge yet, but we will get there. And Kent, by the way, I like the opening because it really does lead to an interesting, the people complaining about the tannins. Yeah. Now that we've opened it, we have to wait 30 minutes.
That's from How I Met Your Mother, by the way.
Oh, why, thank you. I feel so much better. But you hear things like that on shows, comedic shows, and you think, oh, well, that's just silly. Who would do that? And I can't remember if I have told this on air or not. About 3 months ago, I actually had to go to a wine dinner, and it was not one I was hosting. I was there as a guest of somebody, and I was very, very excited about the wines that are going to be offered. And I sat down, and I was looking at all the wines and all the tasting, and I was getting ready to start grab my glass and start tasting and looking at things. And the gentleman next to me said, "What are you doing?" And I looked at him, and I said, "I'm going to smell and taste my wines." He's like, "No, no, no. They were only poured 2 hours ago. They aren't fully at room temperature yet, and they haven't opened up. You need to wait another 45 minutes. And I thought about this. And fortunately, being the consummate professional that I am, I didn't gouge his eyes out. But I thought, what if I were just an average citizen? What if I were just somebody who didn't know anything about wine? What if I were someone who didn't understand this business? How would I react to something like that? I, of course, reacted in the way you'd expect me to. I looked at him, said, "Hi, oh, bless your heart," and started drinking my wines.
Yeah, sure you did.
Well, I did. I was being couth. It was a winemaker. I had to behave. So ultimately, I wonder when people encounter situations like that, how they deal with it. I do understand to a point if a wine is too cold or if a wine is just opened. I do get the fact that wines do need to open up, but that's kind of part of the cool thing about wine. Wine changes. It does have its own personality. It's not like Kent and remains static and unchanged and just pretty much even keel. Wine changes with temperature. It changes with warmth. It changes with time.
No offense taken, by the way.
Oh, and I was concerned. Oh. Bless your heart. Right. Okay, well, we're off and rolling to Crush today. We actually have a banner show ahead of us. Because I have a guest, I might have to, you know, I have a lot of winemaker friends, and there are a lot out there that I respect. There's a lot out there, actually, I detest, but we won't go down that road until another bottle or so. But ultimately, we have Mr. Charles Smith joining us. Charles Smith of Washington State. He definitely has made his mark on Syrah, but he has become my favorite, at least for right now, because he's starting an all Chardonnay winery. He's not just having to make Chardonnay. He's not decided he's going to use Chardonnay. He is making an all Chardonnay winery.
Yeah, does that mean he's not going to make anything else? Or is
that winery is only going to make Chardonnay.
It will just make Chardonnay.
It is a winery devoted to Chard.
Did he bend to pressure from you finally?
Well, finally, it's about damn time someone around here listened.
Right.
All right, that's all it takes. Now, with all due respect to my other friends, I know that there are a lot of you out there that just make Chardonnay or make some Chardonnays, but to go ahead and build the castle that Chardonnay certainly merits and to announce it and do it before it's done, I love it. So our guest today, Charles Smith, looking forward to speaking with him. However, before we get there, we do have to do our wine recommendations. And speaking of Chardonnays, Antica Napa Valley 2010 Estate Chardonnay. Now, I have to admit, I don't know if I've recommended this wine or not, but I have tried it. The new vintage, the 2010, it is rich. It is lush. It is out of Napa. This thing is just dense, rich, ripe. It's got French oak, so it has a little bit of oak to it, but it's not overwhelming. You get the great cool fermentation, so you get some acidity, you get some minerality, you get the white peach, you get the stone fruit in this. This Chardonnay is absolutely fantastic. But what I think is neat is the name. Now, there are a lot of people who are in the wine business out there that will always say that Italians can't make Chardonnay, that there should be no such thing as an Italian Chardonnay, that they should stick to some of the more refined white grapes, they should stick to Pinot Grigio, they should stick to the Cortese grape. But I disagree with them. And all you have to do is taste this wine and understand that Italians certainly know how to make Chardonnay. Antica, the name itself, stands for Antinori, California. So it's A-N-T-I-C-A. And I have to admit, I didn't get this the first time I saw the name. For those of you that don't know, Antinori is one of the grandfather, granddaddy, godfathers of winemaking in Italy. And this is their California property. They came over to California. They explicitly looked for a region to make Chardonnay and Cabernet in the best style that they could. They picked Napa Valley, and the Chardonnay is definitely a reflection of this. 100% estate grown. It's grown out of Atlas Peak in Napa, so you do have the minerality as long as you have that ripe, lush fruit. It is just great all the way around. So there is your Chardonnay for today. Now, for your red wine, this time of year, you still get that mentality about red wines that it's really hard for you to stick them in the refrigerator for 20 minutes or so. But this is definitely one of these good transitional wines, and it's value-oriented. And I haven't done a value-oriented red in a while. The red I selected today is Seaglass Pinot Noir, S-E-A-G-L-A-S-S. For those of you who live on the coast, you know what Seaglass is. This Pinot, it's out of Santa Barbara. So, of course, it has the tropical fruits. It's very, very ripe. But what I like about it, it doesn't have that fake Welch's grape flavor to it. It's actually tastes and feels like a complex Pinot Noir. And it's inexpensive. You can find this Pinot Noir for under $12 at your local Mega Mart. You get the great cherry, you get strawberry, you get all the balance in it. Plus, it's got an acidic backbone. A lot of times you get inexpensive Pinots and they don't have the acidity to balance all the fruit, so all you get is this berry tasting wine. This one definitely has all the components you're looking for. So Seaglass Santa Barbara County Pinot Noir, your red wine recommendation for today, and Antica Napa Valley Chardonnay. So we have looked at a whole bunch of different concepts on the show, and you hear me speak about winemakers a fair amount of time. Well, you have emailed me so many different emails off the show we did, I don't know if it was 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, about how anyone can make wine. So today's show is really going to be taking all the emails, both good and bad. You had very vehement opinions about the show where I stated anyone can make wine. And I'm going to go ahead, and this will answer probably, 60% of the emails I received. If you can follow directions, if you can read, yes, you can make wine. That's it. That's cut and dried. Do not tell me that you can't. Don't tell me you have to have special equipment. Don't tell me you have to have a winery. Don't tell me you have to have a sterile environment. I don't want to hear it. You can find a mason jar in a bathtub and make wine. You can argue me till the cows come home. I won't say it'll be drinkable. I won't say it won't be good. I won't say it'll be something you want to serve at a dinner party. But stop telling me you can't. I promise you, you can go right now and get yeast, get wine, and get sugar. And you're going to make wine.
Know they can make wine. They just don't know if they can make good wine. That's the problem.
Well, that's what the root of all of this was, the emails I received. Maybe they have the mentality that you do, that they assume that whatever they decide to take the grapes, the sugar, the yeast, put it together in a big bucket, that they'll come up with good wine. It'll taste like cake bread Chardonnay. I don't know. I think they had selective hearing. Maybe they were walking in and out of the kitchen when they were listening to the crush and just assumed they could do this. But no, it is capable. If you can read, you can make wine, so don't worry about it. But there were some emails that definitely had some relevance, and we're going to touch on a couple of those today. The first one starts out, I'm doing some names, some I will, some I won't. Some of you, by the way, for those of you who send me an email, my email is lauralawson@winecrush.com. give me your names. If you would like recognition on the show, please tell me who you are. I always feel like an idiot when I read out an email and can't give credit where credit's due. So at least do your due diligence. I cannot figure out your names from your email addresses. So please sign them. Those of you using four-letter words, I encourage you to sign them. It makes it a little bit more fun.
It's because they're afraid of you.
They ought to be if they're putting some of those things. And also,
I've written several to you under the name of Ethel, by the way. I don't know if you got them or not. But
Mabel, yes. Ethel, no.
Okay.
Ethanol. You've had a lot of ethanol, without a doubt. All right. The first email I received, if anyone can make wine, how come there are online degrees and a course at UC Davis to make wine? Let's start with this base point. It goes back. If you have grapes, if you have yeast, and you have sugar, you can make wine. Again, I did not say it would be good. The classes that you find, particularly at UC Davis, are there to give you a structure. It is there to be, say, the studs in your house. It is to be the 2x4s that help keep the house up. It is your chemistry. It is your botany. It is your biology. It is the basics of everything that go in so you can understand how to make a good wine. Also, it can help you learn on what to do when things go bad. What is a pilot's answer? That it's 23 hours of boredom broken up by 20 minutes of sheer panic?
Kind of like that.
Something along those lines. But ultimately, that's what it comes down to with winemakers. If everything goes along smoothly and everything does like it's supposed to, then is there really a need for a head winemaker to be paid a lot of money to look over the tank? Probably not so much. But think about your own daily lives. When's the last time you had a day where everything fell into place, everything did exactly and behaved exactly like it was supposed to, everything was on time, and everything came out exactly perfect? We do not live in Beaver Cleaver world, neither do the people who are making wine. There is always some kind of problem that's going to occur. That's why there's classes. That's why they teach you about chemistry, about botany, so you can head off what might be a commercial disaster. I hope that answers your question. Of course, there are a lot of other reasons why you take courses, but we'll get to those after we take a small break here on The Crush.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Big Rig Drivers. Get into any Love's Travel Stop and get yourself free tickets to the Camping World Truck Series or Nationwide Series races when you purchase Z-Max Micro Lubricant Heavy Duty Engine Formula or Fuel Formula. Just look for the Z-Max display at Love's Travel Stops. Get more from your truck's engine and fuel system when you start using Z-Max. More info about free race tickets at Love's Travel Stops from Z-Max Heavy Duty Formula at ZMAX.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827. That's 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're back with more of The Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today, I am taking the time to answer all of your emails about the winemaking show that we did. And if you listen to the first segment, you know that I still advocate that anybody can make wine. But we do have a lot of emails that I think bear answering, and this is another one of them. This one comes in from Utah, which I found fascinating. Do winemakers really make their wine, or are they like chefs who just stand around and advise instead of cooking? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of chefs out there right now that are looking at the radio and throwing cleavers at it, because ultimately it is a very good comparison, by the way. I do like it, especially when you look at some of the big people, and I'm going to focus on one of my friends when it comes to this. But ultimately, when you're head chef in the kitchen and you have a lot of sous chef and the line chef and the prep chef and everybody else that's under you, and you're a winemaker, you got to these positions by working your way through all the different stations that are either in the kitchen or in the winery. You were a cellar rat. You helped pick grapes. You helped clean barrels. You actually helped fermentation. You helped crush. You helped stir lees. You helped doing all that. Same thing as your chef. Your chef cut a lot of celery. They cut a lot of mushrooms. They made a lot of stock. The head chef who stands around probably has 20 years of experience in doing every aspect of that kitchen. They are creative, they keep their eye on, and chances are they know problems before they're even going to occur. That's the same concept with winemakers. I know we read often enough. Ed Sabraja, dear friend of mine, his protege who made the white wines at Behringer was Lori Hook. And Ed was still the winemaker by title, by bottle, by everything else, but Lori worked on the red wines. She worked on the white wines. Now, that's because she was learning. She was learning how to do it correctly. She was learning how to do it well. And she spent, I believe it's 7 years, mentoring under Sabraja so that she could know that she was going to be at the top of her field. Ultimately, there was a lot of trial and error. There were a lot of things. But yes, the winemakers do still make the wines, because it goes back to what we were discussing right before the break, that 20 minutes of sheer panic. It's knowing when the wine is going to south, when fermentation is stuck, when you're going to have too high of an alcohol, when you have too high of acidity, when you're looking at secondary fermentations, when mallow does not do what it's supposed to do, when bacteria encroaches in the wine or natural yeast starts its own fermentation. A winemaker has the experience to see all these things and to know how to correct them. So whereas The winemaker every day may not be down there in every simple stage of the operation, such as stirring the tanks or cleaning the tanks out. He has people under him that are learning how to do that so that he can guide them on and know that we're going to teach you how to do this. We're going to teach you how to be the best you can be. So do winemakers really make their wine? Absolutely, they really make their wine. They really do. They are hands-on. And while they're at it, they make other winemakers. They teach, they learn, they impart. That's what it comes down to. Think of a college professor. Does a college professor actually grade your papers? Probably not. He has a TA. Is he the one that taught you everything that's on that paper? You'd like to hope so, unless you were asleep in the back row. So hopefully that answers your question. All right, another email. And for those of you who still want to comment on this, do email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 and let us know your opinions. Because most days, your opinions do count. Most days. Maybe here and there. Not necessarily Kent's.
Yours do. Mine don't. Okay.
No, yours definitely don't. And I don't remember turning your mic on, so you can just sit right back there. All right. Another email. Last show, you said that anyone can make wine. How do these winemakers become famous then if anybody can do it? Well, this is pretty straightforward. A winemaker becomes famous because their wines are good. I want you to think about this. I used to play golf. Now I just own clubs. That's the only way I can put it. I don't have time to get out. But anybody can play golf. Really, you can go rent clubs. You can go get shoes. Anybody can get out there and play. But just because you play golf, does that make you Tiger? It doesn't. Well, I guess Tiger may have been. Maybe let's look at Ernie Els.
Bad example.
Yeah, bad example. Actually, let's stick to the wine theme. Why, you can be Luke Donald or you can be Ernie Els. How about that?
There you go.
Even though I can go out there, I can play the same 18 holes, I can play the same course, am I going to do it as well as Ernie or Luke will do it? Absolutely not. So if anyone can be a winemaker, yes, there are going to be people that excel. Experience. It's always fun. I love people that say, oh, well, that winemaker just got lucky with that score. Luck usually takes about 15 years hard work and a lot of sweat and tears. That's what luck is. Luck is experience and talent. And don't kid yourself for one second. Winemaking is a talent. You have to have an instinctive sense on what to do when. Yes, you can be taught at UC Davis. Yes, you can learn things online. But ultimately, if you've brought up in the vineyards, no matter how you get your experience, a combination of experience and talent that make these people famous. They get famous because they're good and their wines show. They have a way of demonstrating and understanding the grape to make them the best they can be. It's that simple. All you have to do is have the right combination and you're going to be a superstar. Just like an athlete, just like a fine chef, just like any of these things. PR machines can only go so far. But yes, anyone can make wine, but no, you can't always be famous. Speaking of anyone making wine and those that are tragically famous, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our guest, Mr. Charles Smith, join us. And we'll talk about his all Chardonnay winery coming up next. Great grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course, Chardonnay. Wine Still Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free, and you'll find unmatched customer service. WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
So, you're sitting in your car or truck in traffic, and it seems to be running fine right now. But how do you know it will tomorrow, this afternoon? Can you afford to miss that meeting or family event? Don't risk it. Z-Max it. Z-Max is the engine performance product that makes a good engine oil great and gives you the assurance your vehicle will keep running smooth and strong day after day, year after year. Why wouldn't you ride with Z-Max? Get Z-Max at your local retail parts store now or log on to Z-Max.com to find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now I am so excited. We have Mr. Charles Smith. He is the winemaker for Charles Smith Wines, KVintners.com, and America Food and Wine 2009 American Wine Awards Winemaker of the Year. Charles, welcome to the Wine Crush.
All right, thank you. Very nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Man, a man with your pedigree ought to be enough to make me go ahead and worship you. But what you have coming around the corner, you realize that after all my years in the business, I'm just gushing. You are my new favorite winemaker. Do you know why?
No, I'm all ears. Let's hear it.
You are a man after my own heart. I am the Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are opening an all Chardonnay winery.
Exactly. We're in Washington State. We have old Chardonnay vines, over 30 years old. We have high elevation, and we have cool climate. And although there's been very nice Chardonnays made, nobody's really, like, championed it. And it's kind of been my thing to champion different things. And, you know, I turned my attention to Chardonnay because I love great Chardonnay. I love the old style of California Chardonnay, and I love white Burgundy. And you know what? We have everything that it takes, in my opinion, to do it in Washington State. Why shouldn't I do it?
I think it's brilliant, and I think it's an idea that's long past its time. You look at Washington State, and you say Washington to anyone, automatically, Merlot, Syrah, Cabernet. It never hesitation. And if they're going to get to something else, they'll mention Riesling. But you rarely hear people think about Washington State and Chardonnay. And it's just criminal. You have the great slopes. You have the great temperatures. You have everything. But everyone is just so devoted to all the red wines that my poor little favorite grape gets lost.
I think that's exactly why. It was kind of like, people can't see their nose, spite their face. And it's been staring everybody in the face for so long. And, you know, as you know, I mean, cool climate is what you need for great Chardonnay. And, I mean, it's always proven out in California, whether, you know, it was back in the old days, like in the Carneros area or over on the Sonoma Coast or the high elevation areas in Napa Valley. I mean, that's where the great Chardonnays were made in the United States. And Washington State, with its long growing seasons and super ample amount of sunshine and these old vines, I've been kind of on a Chardonnay kick myself over the last few weeks. Now, once I decided I was going to do this, all of a sudden, it's like all I want to do is Chardonnay. It's really strange for me because it's something that I don't typically drink that much. But I've been finding myself finding some of my old favorites from California and drinking them and just tucking them down and really enjoying it. It's really a great trip.
Charles, you're very lucky I'm married because what you just said was music to my ears. You definitely have a fan. Well, for our listeners, obviously I have been in the business entirely too long. I know who Charles Smith is, but why should our listeners care that Charles Smith, whoever you are, has decided to open a all Chardonnay winery? Can you give our listeners the brief bio on who you are?
Okay, I think the main reason why is I'm somebody who loves wine. I'm passionate about wine, and I truly love it for the sake of it, not for myself. I'm honest. I'm diligent. I have a deep appreciation, a long knowledge of wine, and I make wine for the people to drink. So that for me to be making Chardonnay, people can really, you know, hopefully keep their eye open for when these wines are going to come, because I've always gone down the line of being very honest, very intense in my pursuit of making the best wines I possibly can. And I think with my passion and a new gentleman who's going to come work with me, Brendan Layton from FSA Winery in Washington State, and he's just joined my winemaking team. And I think he's a brilliant white winemaker. And together, I think together we can make better wine than either of us can do separately. And I think that's saying a great deal because, you know, I've done some really good work and he's done some great work. And together, we're going to make this amazing Chardonnay. And everybody's going to enjoy, no pun intended, the fruits of our labors.
Aww.
So, you know, since 1999, making wine and, you know, everything from making my single vineyard Duraw that I'm well known for, or making my single vineyard, you know, inexpensive Kung Fu Girl Riesling, which I'm very well known for. Well, you know, why not also be known for making this absolutely terrific, cool climate Chardonnay from America and that people will search out because they just love drinking it. I make wine for everybody.
Well, that's what we like to hear, and I think that's why it's because your broadness, the fact that you cover, whether it's Kung Fu Riesling, whether it's your $100 Syrah, whether it's everything you have in between, you have that understanding. A listener had sent an email in about what makes winemakers famous, and it's because of people like you who have the raw talent to understand the grape, how it should be presented, how the consumer should appreciate it, and you see the aspects of it. So I love the idea of you turning your attention to Chardonnay. But, of course, that doesn't belie the underlying question that, of course, you find that movement that's across the United States right now. And I'd love just to meet the person who came up with the ABC philosophy, anything but Chardonnay. Do you think Americans are finally getting back to Chardonnay, or do you think this is something you're going to have an uphill battle on?
Well, I think it should have been ABAC, anything but Oaky. I mean, ABOC, anything but Oaky Chardonnay, because, you know, you know, bigger is not necessarily better. Pure is the best. And, you know, things come in full cycle. And, you know, I mean, how can you say that, you know, Chardonnay is not a noble grape? I think some of the way that people have been approaching and making it and treating the consumer as if they're dumb and just dumbing down the wines and instead of smartening them up as if what's been kind of the curse of Chardonnay. And therefore, you know, it is coming around full cycle. It is a amazing grape. I mean, come on, some of the greatest wines in the world are from the Côte d'Or and Burgundy, and everybody knows of Montrachet and Pliny Montrachet and Marisol. But you know what? We don't use those terms in America. We use the term Chardonnay, and I want, but when people think of American Chardonnay, and in the future, the wine that I make, I hope that, you know, my wine is one of the first names off the tip of their tongue, because I'm doing justice to the wines that they want to drink.
Well, I don't think we'll have a problem with that. Now, question, have people looked at you and said, you're going to start a winery that's Chardonnay only? with your background, with your history, they don't look at you and say, well, come on, you know you're going to have a couple barrels of red in the back. How are you planning of embarking on a winery that's strictly Chardonnay? Are you going to do two or three different offerings? Are you going to see what the ground produces? Do you have your regions already in mind? How are you scoping this out mentally?
Those are all very good questions. I do have my things in mind. I'm actually doing three.
Okay.
What I did was I went through a very large selection of California Chardonnays, some of the old, you know, really great, you know, classic ones, and some of the modern, you know, styles, and some don't typically fit my palate, but some of the wine writers love them. They get great scores, and they're huge, hugely priced wines. And I did the same thing, probably another, you know, equal another 30, 40 bottles of white Burgundy. And what we decided to do was, you know, think about where which wines we like the best and which ones we think there was a place in Washington State, a soil type, an aspect that would fit that wine. So if we were thinking Corton Chardonnay, where was a site that would maybe, you know, produce that kind of wine? So I looked for three very distinct sites. I have three. They're all over 30-year-old vines. We cropped them down to where we're producing 2 tons of the acre. I mean, we think about in the Northern Rhone, just for Syrah, they're about 2.5 tons per acre for making a wine that sell for, well, upwards of over $100 a bottle. We're doing the same thing for Chardonnay in Washington State. So this is not an inexpensive endeavor when it comes to what we're doing in the vineyard, but it's absolutely necessary to do it. So, yes, we're doing three. We're doing three very specifically different selections.
Well, hey.
We've already picked them, championed them, it's awesome.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing about those different selections. But if you don't mind, we do have to pander to advertisers a little bit. Can you hang out? We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk about your different styles.
That'd be great.
All right, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will learn more about Charles's styles of Chardonnay.
Now that we sat nice, broke bread together, shared a glass of wine, I feel I know you a little.
We'll have more of The Wine Crush, presented by WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon.
800-489-1639. 800-489-1639. 800-489-1639.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Mozart toasties.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we are online with Charles Smith, the winemaker for Charles Smith Wines, and my new modern day hero with his new all Chardonnay project. Charles, are you still with us?
Of course. I wouldn't go anywhere.
I like the way you think. See, you and I are just, we're peas in a pod and you just don't know it yet. All right, before we were so rudely interrupted, we were getting ready to discuss your three Chardonnays in three different styles. So, being from Washington State, looking at the kind of ground, looking at cold climate, and based on what you've mentioned, I'm guessing we're going to sense a bit of minerality, at least in one of them.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You're definitely going to sense minerality and earthiness in all the wines, that's for sure.
All right, what's your pattern? Are you leaning more toward Le Montrachet, a little Corton? Are you leaning more towards a Macon style? What are you looking for?
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, you know, we are North America, so, you know, we can be, inspired by things that we've had in other spots, but really it's going to come down to where we are. So for me, when I think about great California Chardonnay, in the old days, they made amazing Chardonnay, you know, like in the mountain growing things like Stony Hill. Those wines were like medium body, they were very intense, very minerally, and they'd grown in volcanic soil. Well, in Washington State, we have a great deal of volcanic soil. So we have a vineyard that really suits that. We also have vineyards that have a lot of limestone and basalt. And so we're really thinking more like, in this area, we think it would be something more like Corton Charlemagne.
All right.
We also have some other spots that are with different aspects that we might be really leaning more towards Chablis. So I think you can look for something more like, on a restrained California mountain-grown, cool climate, crisp, super minerally thing along like Stony Hill in the old days. It looks for something like, potentially like Corton Charlemagne, and you look like something for a really classic Chablis. But we'll see. I mean, when we pick the grapes, walk the vineyard, taste the grapes, pick them, and bring them in for pressing, we're going to have a good idea of what we're looking at. And it looks right now that we're on mark to have an absolutely stellar vintage in Washington State. And we've got two very, very cool climate vintages, and it seemed like it's the perfect year to have decided to do this. So I'm just a lucky guy.
All right, so 2012, the inaugural year. This is a really silly question, and if I've missed it somewhere, feel free to make fun at me. Everybody else has today. What is the name of the winery, and what are you going to call your wines?
Well, the funny thing is, I don't have a clue. I have no idea. I mean, it's kind of like I'll name it when I see it.
All right, you're gonna
wine is a game of patience. I mean, you have to have patience in the vineyard, you have to have patience in the winemaking, you have to have patience in the aging, and then here it is. I mean, it's not an impatient person's folly, that's for sure. And so for me, until I really see the work that we're going to do, I don't know what to name it.
But here's the valuable question after that. Charles, are you a patient man?
Oh, absolutely. I'm zero patience at all.
Okay.
I have the least patience pretty much anybody you ever know. So maybe this was, I am my own arch nemesis, or my career is the fact that I have something that you need patience for, and I have no patience. And even after 12 years, I haven't learned any patience outside of the winemaking. But when it comes to winemaking, the wine decides, and I listen to it, and I make the decision based on the wine.
Now,
so,
see that
have it.
eventually we got around to it. Today's show was about winemakers as a whole and how people look at things. And you seem to have different style of winemakers. You have a quote winemakers who decide what the consumer is drinking this week, and they try and modify the grapes and the juice to taste like what they think everybody else does. But one of the things that makes you so great is you said the magic words. We're going to see what the grapes say. We're going to let the juice speak for itself. And that is why you've been so successful. So successful in what you're doing is because you understand that you can't make the juice into what you think it ought to be. It's just got to speak forth itself.
Well, I think people that really truly love wine do understand that. And I said, I truly do love wine. And therefore, you know, I'm not going to betray the one that I love, and I'm not going to betray the wine. That's for sure.
When you look at everything you have going on, from the Rieslings to the Syrah, now the Chardonnay, I've got to ask the question, I'm sure someone else has already asked you. Even though right now the Chardonnay winery is your own pet project, is it going to be hard once harvest comes in to see where you're going to be and where you're going to spend your time? Where do you think you will, which property, which varietal do you think you're going to annoy the people the most over? Syrah, Riesling, or Chardonnay?
The
poor people who are going to have to crush it, who are going to have to look at it. What are you going to be hovering over? What are you going to mother more than anything else?
Well, first off, for cave vendors, you know, because it's all, you know, small batch. It's all native yeast, natural secondary fermentation. I foot crush it all myself, and I basket press it. So,
oh, good Lord.
I mean, literally, I'm in it, you know. So it's right there in Walla Walla. So, we have people that work on the crusher, the stemmer, because I like to stem. I don't really crush it on a machine. So, you know, there's that, but I'm there through all that process. Well, when we bring the grapes in, you know, we're standing over the press, and, you know, we're going to be bringing in three different vineyards. So I'm there all the time. I mean, I'm there every single moment. And, you know, it's hard to bring me, you know, three people at once, but I have a great, you know, assistant winemaker now. I'm named a winemaker for Cave Vintners, even though I oversee all the winemaking. That's my great guy, Andrew Lada. And as I mentioned before, Brendan Layton from FSD has now joined me, and he'll oversee the Charles Smith Wine Project. And together, the three of us, is what I wanted to have something that we could all fresh, you know, bite off, was to, you know, bite into, was to do this Chardonnay project. So you're basically going to have three guys that are really passionate about wine, no egos involved, because the wine is the wine, and you can't talk wine into being great. If it's great in the glass, it's great wine. We're gonna be doing this together. So as I said,
right.
I believe that we are better together than we are separate. And
all right, I'll remember that. In fact, after we get through harvest, I'm gonna get another one of the boys. We'll have to call him in, get on the crush, and see how well it went to a man who was there 24 hours a day with no patience. Hey, Charles, thank you very much for being on the crush today. It was fun having you. I wish you luck in your new venture, and I personally cannot be one of the first people to try the new 2012 Chardonnay. So thanks very much. Hey, here on the Crush, we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll recap today's show and let you know what you have coming ahead in other sessions.
Stay with us for more of the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. We only have a limited supply of free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9517. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9517. That's 1-800-487-9517. Call 1-800-487-9517.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827. That's 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
We're back with more of The Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. You know, that was very, very insightful, speaking with our guest, Mr. Charles Smith. Of course, he was the 2009 American Wine Awards Winemaker of the Year. He does Kung Fu Riesling. He does $100 Syrahs, and now he's doing a Chardonnay-only winery. You know, I do love the fact that he doesn't have a name for it yet. We need to get him on air and twist his arm and let him let us pick. I think that would only be fair, but then again, it is my world and you just live in it, so we'll move on from there. But he did say something very, very poignant, and in all my years in the business, I have never heard it phrased just like this. You can't talk a wine into being great. I love that phrase, and I think it encapsulates everything that we are discussing today. Whether it was all the emails about the winemakers, whether what makes a winemaker famous, do winemakers actually make their own wines? Ultimately, yes, they do. Because as much as you can take the grapes, you can take the sugar, and you can take the yeast and put it in a jar, you have exactly that to work with. You can't pour over that jar or that barrel or that cask and say, oh, please be great, and kind of manipulate it. You can't talk it into being great. You can't manipulate it into being great. It's just what you manage to get the sum parts and become a total wine that makes it outstanding. And that within itself is the art of a winemaker. An art of a winemaker, you may not be able to talk a wine into being great, but you can sure build it to be great. And there's your answer, listeners. I'm glad we had this chat. As always here on The Crush, reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.